from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss, and that's a winner! That's a winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals! Smith corks one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy! It's a home run, and the Cardinals have won the game by the score of 3-2, and a home run by the Wizard! Go crazy! Swinging a long one into left field! Adios! Goodbye, and maybe that's the winner! A three-run homer by Clark, and the Cardinals lead by the score of 7-5, and they may go to World Series on that one, folks.
What a team! What a ride! The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Welcome to That's a Podcast. Well, That's a Winner Podcast. I'm just messing it up all the way. I am Ryan Jenkins. That is Josh Brown. Welcome to the stream. We're going to have a lot of new people joining us tonight. You can find us now on Twitter and Facebook and all those things. But now Cardinals 24/7 is streaming us live in their groups and on their pages. And we really appreciate that. And Josh, I'll bring you in now and let's break it straight into the last 2 weeks of the season. Last time we were on, it was right before the season started. And we had a prediction of what we thought was going to happen for the Cardinals and going into it. And 2 weeks in, we knew we had a 16-game stretch that we were really, really worried about. The Cardinals.
First 16 games.
Yeah, first 16. And we are now 13 into those games, right?
Yep.
13. And 6-7 so far into those in those first 13. How are you feeling for the first 13 games? We knew that stretch was going to be a really difficult way to start the season.
Yeah, we were talking about this, right? It's 6-7.
Yep.
Right. Could have been worse. Definitely could have been worse.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think what bums me out about the record right now is the pitching's been much better than I thought it would be. The old man pitching. It's worked so far for the most part. And there's been some games we just gave away. You know, just the other day we gave away a game, probably maybe would have won 3-2. Not for an early error. Belante giving up some runs. Game before that, you just had some blown, you know, what was it? I think it was Helsley blew his first game of the year, and that extra innings came back. He had the young guys with, you know, Mason Wynn, Ivan Herrera, those guys come back and tie the game for you a few nights ago against the Phillies, and then Helsley blow it late, which for the most part he's been nails this season. So that I think you look at that and it's like, I'm more disappointed by the record because it feels like it should be a winning record if you hadn't thrown some away. But you know, you go in this weekend, you finish these three against the Diamondbacks of those 16 games, you win 2-3, and that's an 8-8 record, right? And I think we talked about that before the season. If we had gotten 8-8, we'd probably be over the moon those first 16 games. So you still have a chance for that.
So are you more surprised? And thank you everyone for joining us so far. So there's a chat function. You can send in your comments. It'll pop up for us and you can have your questions or anything else that you want to say. It'll show up in the side screen for us and we can get to those, put those on the screen and have a conversation about those. So please put in those comments and questions or anything like that. But so are you more surprised? And this goes for everyone that wants to chime in as well. Are you more surprised that the pitching has done well? Or are you more surprised that the offense has had a struggle?
Definitely more surprised with the offense, right? I think most of us.
I'm the inverse.
Well, yeah. I mean, you kind of called this a little bit. You know, we were talking about do spring training stats matter and all that. I mean, it wasn't looking great for Arenado and Goldschmidt during spring training. And then Arenado had that first game against LA. I think he went 3-for-4, had a home run. We thought, okay, you know, maybe spring training meant, you know, meant nothing for those guys. They're fine. But these swings we're seeing out of Arenado, he's been having these swings since, you know, late February, early March. They just look off. Those uncomfortable, you know, not on time, no power kind of swings. And it's looking rough for him and Goldie right now. I mean, Arenado hasn't barreled a ball yet. Goldschmidt has, you know, what, I think two extra base hits, or maybe just one. Just that home run.
The home run is his only extra base hit all season so far.
Just the home run. So, you know, you're looking at him. You look up, he's got a 544 OPS.
So
250 slugging. And Arenado's, you know, had some batting average there for a little bit, but no better. It's not looking good for them too.
I have some guys that like to DM our Twitter and ask, hey, what do you think about this? Or how do you think about that? What do you think is going on? And this one guy that always likes to ask questions, he asked me in the offseason, he goes, what are you worried about? I said, I'm worried about the offense. And he's like, what are you talking about? And I've been calling it since the offseason that I think that what they have done was put in a good enough pitching staff that it can't go as bad as it did last year, right? Like Michaelis was going to be better. Matt's has pitched really well since the second half. And then they add these three new guys that are just going to pitch better. And pick one, they're going to be better than Adam Wainwright, right? You just put it all together. They're going to have a better pitching, starting pitching. And then the bullpen was tweaked and improved and all those things. Like it just wasn't going to repeat. And I still don't think it can repeat anything that happened last season. That like, it's just was a blip on the radar. Like it's just really impossible. What I have been saying since the offseason is let's go get another bat. And I knew the St. Louis Cardinals weren't even going to even talk about it. Because I had said, and I love Tommy Edman, but we should go get a real center fielder because with a bat and in block, like the Chicago Cubs from having Belly and Bellinger could be the Cardinals center fielder and then be able to help out when Goldie needs some rest and play first base because the Cardinals need some offense. That is all coming to fruition of everything that I have said that there's no offense. And I do believe that Goldie is going to come around and Arenado is going to come around where you don't know what's going to happen.
They better.
And what you don't know is exactly going to happen is what you get out of the young guys. Yeah. Because Jordan Walker is not hitting well. He's not hitting line drives. He's not doing
Not hitting the ball in the air at all. Yeah.
Victor Scott has been really good in the field except the last game where he had a couple of errors, but he's batting like 087.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think.
And not hitting the ball particularly hard. It's not like that what we hear from Alec Burleson all the time. Right. Well, he's hitting the ball hard. Victor's not hitting the ball hard and he's not quite getting those bunts down, or drawing walks, and he's walked a lot in the minors. So I give him some leeway because he wasn't supposed to be here.
Right.
He wasn't supposed to be here this early at all. And the only reason he is because of two outfield injuries. Right. But yeah, it's, and that's what we talked about. I think that's plays into the disappointment for me with the record, because if Arenado and Goldschmidt just hit like they hit their whole career.
Right.
We're probably
just a little.
Yeah, we're probably 2-3, maybe even 4 games over 500. Because a lot of these games that we've lost were, 5-4, 3-2, 2-1, like close. We're in them. It's not like last season where it's felt like, and they've made some noise later in the game.
Yes.
Last season,
if we got down early.
Yeah, we'd get down early and you wouldn't even, there was no point in watching really the rest of the game. You weren't expecting comebacks at all.
So, okay, let me ask you this. Are you more surprised by, let's say, Mason Wynn's offense and Ivan Rodriguez's offense? Or are you more surprised in the success of Steven Matz or Kyle Gibson had one not great game? But, like, are you more surprised by Lance Lynn and his success and Steven Matz's success? Or are you more surprised by Wynn, who's been playing really great ball, and Ivan Rodriguez, who all of a sudden goes, holy smokes, this guy can be a starting catcher right now. Again, it's early, but are you more surprised on which end?
I am least surprised by Herrera, especially with the bat.
Yeah.
Because it's really come along. It came along. If you followed him at all in the minors last year, he was hitting the cover off the ball, like high exit velocity, all that, and then played in whatever the winter ball league was. I don't know if it was Dominican or wherever, he was tearing that up. And the glove we know has come around. Right. That's really what's come around for him catching, which is great. So I'm probably least surprised by him. I would say most surprised right now, honestly, maybe Lynn, because he's not, and this is alarming to me, and we can get into this, at least from what I've seen so far. Now, Sonny Gray's only made one start, and I know he can throw a little bit harder, but Steven Matz is like our hardest thrower out of the rotation right now, which is kind of alarming to me. He's the only guy hitting, 95 plus.
Right.
Now, Lynn's usually averaged that, had that in the past. And I thought he had it last year. I mean, even his first two starts, I haven't seen him throwing harder than 92, maybe 93. But he's mixing up the cutter. He's moving.
He has tons of swing and miss. Yeah. I saw
he's got four different fastballs.
He was like top 10 in Major League Baseball.
That's what surprised me the most, is that he's still getting the swings and miss and racking up strikeouts. That first game against the Dodgers, bases loaded, no outs, the first inning. And I'm thinking, great, here we go. Lynn's going to give up the 40 plus bombs again this year. And he struck out three in a row and he got out of it. and was on his way to a pretty good start. And then that one got rained out with rain delay. Ironically, pitched in rain again the other day. And Matt might have had a quality start if not for that first inning, you know, the dropped misplay fly ball by Victor Scott had him throw probably 10 to 12 extra pitches when he had two outs. He would have gotten out of that. I think I've been most surprised by him when I'm loving what he's doing with the bat. Now, he's not hitting for power, getting a bunch of extra base hits, but we don't need him to
right.
in the slot that he's getting on base, stealing a little bit, that he's getting the offense going. He had a clutch hit the other night. It's still not as surprising to me because there's not pressure, I don't think, on him to perform, whereas, you know, Lynn there is because he was signed to come back. Obviously, Arenado, Goldschmidt there is. So those guys, I think, have at least surprised me. Matt's, I'm going to hold my excitement for him until I see a few more consistent starts. See where we're at in a month. If he stays healthy, we know he can be really effective when he's healthy. But it's just a matter of, hey, is he going to stay healthy? And I want to see his pitch count. Hopefully he can let it loose a little. I know he's only went five very effective innings his first two starts, but he's kind of been on that 75 to 80 pitch count.
And you do mention Matt's, and I can't find it quickly on my phone, but I had been saying Matt's since the second half of last year has been very, very good.
Yeah.
And so one of our Twitter followers says, not only that, but even when since he went to the bullpen in the first half of last season, he has been so good, and he had the numbers breakdown. And so Matt's has actually pitched very well, and it's always been about his health than anything else. He's been healthy.
And no arm injuries. It's been these kind of weird leg right. things or something.
So he's done that part very, very well. So we have all these worries, but Matt's has been more of the most consistent over the last, you know, season, last half season plus.
And effectiveness when he is effective. Yeah,
absolutely. So again, from what I've said is I've expected him to do fairly well, and he's done so. Lance Lynn has been awesome, but I think there is something to it. People don't want to hear it. But when John Mozeliak talks about wanting to sign guys that want to be in St. Louis, I think that has been proven to actually be a big part of the story of, like, these guys want to be in St. Louis. It's different. And Lance Lynn wanted to come back. And Sonny Gray wanted to be in St. Louis. And Kyle Gibson wanted to be in St. Louis. And those guys, like, your comfortability to be able to pitch there and somewhere you want to be and not someplace you're just placed and put there, that they chose to be a part of that organization makes a little different. And so that makes me excited about the pitching staff. I am more bullish than most on the pitching staff because I think that it can only get better than it was last year.
Yeah.
And the bullpen has been decent as well. I think Ryan Helsley wasn't very good for the one game. Gio has done some stuff.
Gio hasn't looked great.
Yeah.
Another guy that's the velocity's just gone all of a sudden. He's only been throwing like 91. Zach Thompson as well.
I was going to bring up Thompson.
He was throwing 95 plus last year.
He said that it was
mechanics change.
So
way to go, Dusty Blake.
Right. So if they're changing the mechanics enough that he's losing 6-7 miles per hour, maybe we don't want to do a mechanics change. But he has been very good.
Great out of relief of Lynn yesterday.
Right.
When Pallante couldn't get out of that inning, struck out the side, he went three innings or so out of relief, five something strikeouts, but was still only throwing 91. And my worry with these guys not throwing as hard is, can this be sustained?
Right.
Like, are they still building up and we're going to see velocity later? Great. Then it's not much of a worry. Or is there like something lingering going on, or maybe something they're already dealing with, but they're just having some effectiveness right now? And if it's the latter, then this is going to be a pretty big issue, I think, later. Because, I don't know. I mean, if we do wind up making it to the playoffs against some of those teams, you're not going to get by with 90 to 92, 3 miles per hour trying to get guys. I don't think.
But
unless
if you're in
you've
the playoffs,
got great control.
But if you're in the playoffs, who's pitching? It's going to be Sonny Gray.
Right now, I mean, Gray, Lynn, and Gibson, I would assume, would be like if you were in a five-game series.
Right. Well, I'm talking about you're in a playoff, so you got to get there, obviously. But if you're right. shortening the series because you're not going to get to your fifth starter, your fourth
That's the
starter,
hope, yeah.
you're in a better position than because you can go on short rest and all those things. Like, I like this team a lot more in a short rest type of period. Let's transition a little bit. Some people say, hey, who are you? We are streaming live to Cardinals 24/7 page, their Cardinals 24/7 group, and Cardinals 24/7 YouTube channel as well. So this is That's a Winner podcast, powered by Cardinals 24/7, has given us a lot of eyeballs to help do that. So they have subscribers and a lot of views, and so they're not producing any podcasts at the moment. So they want to be able to give you guys some something to listen to and watch. And we appreciate you guys tuning in. Travis Swindle says, "What's up, boys?" So, hey, Travis.
What's up? All right, thanks for joining us.
Send us some questions and whatever you want to talk about. But I'm gonna the news of the day of non-Cardinals related is Jordan Montgomery fired Scott Boras and hired Nolan Arenado's camp, right? Who he's with? I can't think of the name.
Yes, Joel Wolf.
Joel. So, is that something? Is that nothing? What do you get from that?
I mean, I'll be really interested to see if it turns into something. I think if it was, you know, Blake Snell or like a little bit bigger name doing this, then it might be a bigger deal. But
he's upset, right?
Yeah. I mean Blake Snell should be too. I mean, some of these other guys that waited longer and didn't get, you know, really great deals at all. I mean, Cody Bellinger should be in that camp. Now, I don't know if it's enough for them to, you know, get rid of Boras. I don't know if I assume Jordan Montgomery's been with Boras for a while. Most of these guys, I think, have. But I get it, right? It is interesting that he switches to Nolan Arenado's agent, which I know is also Yamamoto's.
Yes.
And some other, you know, Yamamoto just got obviously huge deal. He hadn't even pitched a game in the majors. So maybe there's comfortability there. Maybe he already knew him a little bit with the connection with Nolan the last 2 years in St. Louis.
Will
I'm
we
not sure.
see him this week? I haven't checked the pitching matchups.
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah, let me look that up.
Because, yeah, so, like, the question is it relevant to Cardinals information? So he leaves Scott Boras because he's obviously upset about what he was signed with and the how late, long it took and the money he ended up getting or the deal he got. But is it relevant to maybe next year he wants to go in the Cardinals direction? Because the Cardinals have a lot of one-year deals that are just kind of pushing things along until you obviously get to like Tink Hentz to be able to come up, that sort of thing. Or, yep. or you find room for Thompson to actually join the starting rotation where he's grown enough, or Matthew Liberatore has shown something else, or, you know, Graceffo, those sort of things. So you have these 1 year deals, but Jordan Montgomery could be one of those that could be available again. And he's joining, you know, Arenado's group that he's with, that could be an easy connection. So will we see Jordan Montgomery this week? I say all that just to stall to give you time.
Yeah, we will not
okay
face, we will Which face Zach Gallen though. Okay, so that'll be interesting to see how that goes. I don't know. I'm pretty sure we've faced him before.
we have recently. So how many times do we face him in the first game, or when do we find Gallen
the final game Sunday?
How many times in the first games will we first three two games will we hear about the Gallen trade
with oh your, yeah
we're just I mean, gonna I'm hear sure. about how Mo is so terrible at the trade.
I don't know if Sunday night's ESPN. I don't know if it's Sunday night baseball, but you'll for sure hear it on that, I would assume.
Is it Sunday night baseball?
I have no idea. I don't think that it is, but if it were, you would definitely hear it on that.
Oh, absolutely, because they'll let you know that Mo, you know, screwed that one up. Speaking of screwing things up, and I say that tongue in cheek because people love to blame Mo for everything. It's a 4-10 game, so it is not going to be
Sunday night baseball.
Tyler O'Neill, have you heard of him?
Yeah.
Tyler O'Neill
is... Here we go.
Tyler O'Neill is leading the AL in pretty much every offensive stat.
Yep.
Home runs, RBI, OPS, I think, to name a few. Is this another one of those situations of, oh, another guy gets away from St. Louis and figures it out? Or is it, yeah, we know Tyler O'Neill has that ability. The dude just is always hurt.
I think it's the latter.
Yeah.
I mean, we know that, right? We've seen it.
He finished fifth in MVP voting. Like, yeah. We knew it was there.
The one almost, and he still wasn't fully healthy that season. I mean, that he got top five votes. He didn't even have 90 RBIs because he still, I think, only played 140-ish. So we never got more than 145, maybe, games from Tyler O'Neill in the season. So it is like, it's almost laughable at this point, right? That we continue to see this when we trade guys or let them go and they go off. But in the case of O'Neill, I'm probably less frustrated at the front office about it because he had
opportunity,
much like Dylan Carlson, yes. Which is a make or break year for him this year. has had countless opportunities the last 3 or 4 years to run with the role and just can't stay healthy. And last year it was a contentious time with the manager getting into it with him. So you had that cherry on top of also still not being able to stay healthy. Even when he came back, he didn't hit well when he was healthy. So, I mean, great for O'Neal. I mean, I like Tyler. I liked watching him play. I thought he played pretty hard. And that year, what was that, 2022?
Are you talking about, the year they went on the streak.
Yeah, that was 20. That was 21.
And that was a fun.
Because 22 was the Pujols year.
Remember the Mets series, the Cubs series, like those series.
Every night it felt like he was getting a clutch hit.
He was just on fire.
I got to take my daughter. We went to one of the games. It was early on in the streak, like seventh in a row, eighth in a row win. But it was at home at Busch. Well-pitched game. We were losing 1-0 into the eighth inning and had two outs, and O'Neal hit, you know, a bomb to give us a 2-1 lead, and we wound up coming back and winning the game.
Like, he was just
unbelievably
on fire, like just great. Crushing it. And so you think about that, like, we know John Mozeliak knows, and Bill DeWitt and Ollie Marmol, they knew that this was inside Tyler O'Neal. But not only that it was in them, we saw glimpses of it. It's just he can't stay healthy. So if Tyler O'Neal goes and plays 100 and, I don't know, has 600 plate appearances this year, is that a failed trade? I don't think so.
No.
I don't think that's like, oh, we let one slip away. It's he finally found a way to stay healthy. And it's something the Cardinals had waited for that just never happened. Now, did they trade
him? The irony is we've got three outfielders that are hurt right now.
Right. Like, we could really use that.
Yeah. We could now we could actually use that depth that we always had too much of.
Yeah, and we had a lot of depth of just mediocrity, and he was a part of that at times because he was just another guy that was streaky. The Cardinals' offense, I think, can be really, really good. I think that the Cardinals' offense can be top seven or so in all of baseball, but the streakiness, is then they can be bottom third, and that's where the problem lies. The Cardinals needs more consistent. Goldie can carry a team for a month. Arenado can carry a team for a month. Nolan Gorman can carry a team for a month.
Yeah. But Gorman's a streaky one too.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I'm saying. Like, they're all.
But his streak is home runs, which is great.
Tyler O'Neal is the same way. Yeah. Like, all those guys can have the ability to carry the team, but whenever they're all cold, they're all cold, and the offense is looking like it's just terrible.
Yeah. O'Neal, by the way, tie with Mike Trout for most home runs in the majors, both at six. So six of O'Neal's 12 hits are home runs. No other hits besides singles. No other extra base hits. And is leading all of baseball in OPS. He's edging out Mookie Betts, which we've all seen how Mookie Betts started off. So that's pretty impressive. So good for Tyler. Look, I mean, I'm not rooting against him. Now, obviously, when he plays against us, I will be.
Right.
I hope he, you know, steals a base and then is out 10 games like he would be with us when we play him. But, you know, rooting for him, like, I have no problem with, you know, I understand it. It's not it to me. Like, I get more worked up over Adolis Garcia.
I don't get over Adolis
specifically because, like, we didn't even get
it. Everyone missed. They did.
There was a year,
but everyone, even the Rangers got rid of Adolis and then brought him back.
But the year that we let him go, he hit like 35 home runs.
Yeah,
with Triple A Memphis. Like, I know the strikeout rate was there, but
the same with Gomez. We'd let him go, but we got him back.
Yeah.
But the point is, like, Adolis Garcia, every single team had the opportunity to get him and they missed on him. And then the Rangers DFA'd him as well.
Yeah, early on when they first got him.
And
then
they got him back again. Jason Nichols needed more from Tyler than homers and good looks. I guess Jason thought
Hicks might have been a mistake. Yeah, that's a good point, too. Yeah. I might be a little more frustrated on the Hicks front.
And it sounded like they were close to getting a deal off season. Yes, it
but
was.
But they tried.
They tried. It just seemed like it was close. It was close and it was close. And then they didn't get it done. Yes, I would have. But I don't think the Cardinals were going to put him in the starting rotation.
Well, they did. And was that 23 or 22?
Yes, they did. They gave him an opportunity.
Did it but they did it the last 2 or 3 weeks of spring training and said, oh, okay, we need you to do this now.
Right. But my point
and then
is,
when he was terrible, they're like, why are you telling? Well, you didn't give him a whole offseason, a whole spring training.
Right.
To ramp up as a starter. And I think that's why you're seeing him be successful now. And it remains to be seen with him, right? Will he stay healthy?
Right.
Because he's had issues.
The same issues. But my point is, if the Cardinals signed him this offseason, or during the season last year, it wasn't going to be a starting pitcher.
No, I don't think so. Unless those, and maybe that's why an extension didn't happen.
Right.
Because he was more honest with him. Like, hey, I want to be a starter. But would you rather have Jordan Hicks or Kyle Gibson?
Okay. If going into the season, the Cardinals told you we're going into the season as Jordan Hicks as a starter, people would have lost their mind.
Or maybe this is better. Would you rather have had Jordan Hicks or Zach Thompson?
Well, I'm Jordan Hicks because he can throw 100 miles.
Right. Well, I'm even saying as a starter. Like, if you knew both were – either one of these two are going to be your starter. Not knowing, obviously, now that you
– Well, if you're going
– well, Hicks was doing.
If I'm going into the season as with either of those pitchers instead of another outside pitcher, I'm upset. And I think most of people – Most of the Cardinals fans.
That's why we're upset now.
Well, right. Because everyone wanted one more still. Because we got Lance Lynn and Kyle Gibson, and everyone wanted a Jordan Montgomery, a Blake Snell.
Or a trade for Cease. Go get that other co-ace. Right.
And how good that we did not trade for Bieber. Is that looking, by the way?
Yes.
But like everyone wanted one more. So if they would have gone into the season with Jordan Hicks or Thompson slated in as a starter, people would have lost
their mind. Problem.
It would have been even worse than what people already gave the front office for. So the Cardinals knew, I'm not defending them, but this is how I see it, is they knew they were going to go sign three guys, and Jordan Hicks wasn't going to be one of those three that were going to be listed as a starter. And Jordan Hicks probably said, well, I want the opportunity.
Yeah.
And now he's running with it, with the ability to get himself a chance. And he's done well with it so far. Doesn't mean he's going to continue to do so, but he has looked really, really good.
Yeah. I'm laughing because you brought up Shane Bieber. It made me think of, I saw one of my favorite tweets the other day. I don't know if I sent this one to you, but someone said, I'm going to love something to the degree of, can't wait to see the Cy Young Award ceremony for Kyle Gibson when he's the last man standing this year.
Oh, gosh.
Because everyone else is blown out their arm.
Yeah.
I thought that was great. There was a great, probably 4-minute clip from Justin Verlander that I meant to send you, and he got asked about all the arm injuries, and I thought he really broke it down well, talking about the difference between the game today and how guys could save bullets back then, and now it's like max effort all the time, and if you're not throwing 98 plus,
you're not
even looked at,
right?
And I thought it was a really interesting, like really educational, well thought out like answer from Verlander about, I mean, he called it, I think he called it an epidemic.
Right.
Of what you're seeing with arm injuries. And he said, the problem is that this is starting in Little League now. You see this issue. It was a really interesting comment that he had. I think it was a couple of days ago.
Well, yeah. So my wife is in that realm, and we've talked about, so the MLBPA came out and said that the pitch clock is the problem here. And that's why these pitchers are getting injured. And she's like, there's no way that's true. And she's a doctor in that field. And she's like, there's no way, there's not going to be any data that supports that argument. So if you think about that, she said, the guys are throwing harder than ever. That is more of what it is. The strain of what's
the max effort,
the max effort more often. And it's the same thing that Verlander has said.
Verlander got into, I was going to say tangent, but it wasn't a tangent. It was a good point. He was talking about arm slots as well, which was really interesting.
Yeah.
And you get to looking at pictures of like his arm slot versus others. I thought that was kind of interesting too.
Well,
but yeah, it's
because you got to look. There would have to be a data that all comes from all those injuries, because softball players don't have that injury because they come from underneath, right? And they don't have the shoulder, elbow injuries that happen. So, are you seeing more injuries from the guys that are up here or up here? Like I'm sure there can be a data that's been derived, like, are there more injuries up here, or is it more injuries from guys out here? Like, all that torque on the elbow, there's going to be all that data. And the MLBPA comes out and says it's all because of the pitch clock, like with no supporting facts, and we need to do something about it. I think the pitchers are saying, we don't like the pitch clock, so how can we possibly get around it? Well, and they can just say the injuries are blaming for it with no
proof. I don't know how you're going to have data to back that up. Got another great comment here about Sonny Gray. We could talk about that. Tom says Sonny Gray did amazing in his first start as a Cardinal. Yeah, that was fantastic.
That
65.
Comes from Tom on Twitter, by the way. He's a little X's for X Twitter. Yeah, so we can find us streaming on Twitter on Facebook, YouTube, lots of different places, groups and pages, all of those different places. Yes. So like he had 65 pitch limit.
Hard 65 pitch count.
What did he end up number wise? Was it 65 or
64?
64.
And 43 of those were strikes. So about 68%-ish were strikes.
And he just looked
different was
than
great.
The other Cardinals pitchers. He just looked different.
I don't think we've had a starter probably in the last at least 5 years that has as nasty of a breaking stuff as he has. I've read all the articles on the sweeper. Everybody's throwing a sweeper. Kyle Gibson's throwing a sweeper now. Sonny Gray's is just filthy. Like, very nasty. I mean, like stuff-wise, I haven't seen hitters look that silly with stuff. I mean, probably since Hicks, like, first came up with his slider and you know, throwing 104, 105. He looked really good, and the control was just great. I mean, 5 hits, no runs.
He looked exactly as the Cardinals wanted him to look.
Yes.
And the things you heard in spring training of this guy is just a professional.
So cross your fingers and pray for no more hamstring. It was a hamstring, right?
Yes.
No more hamstring injuries the rest of the season. I can't wait. I can't wait to see him pitching with no pitch limit, no pitch count. I mean, he looked fantastic. And that's no slouch of a lineup that he pitched against, obviously, too.
Have we heard his next starts? Will he be a little longer in pitch count?
Like, I would hope so.
Like, I mean, but like, will he be
78, 75, 80? Like, are they going to keep building it up by 10? I would assume.
Yeah, because
since he didn't do rehab starts.
He did a simulated game though, yeah. Right? Which is obviously different from that. But like, at least ramp it up to 80 or so. Like 65 can get away from you really quickly. Like,
yeah.
If it's not going well early, that could be 2 innings. Because you
his first batter was Schwarber got to a full count,
right?
It was like
it's
7
like,
pitches or so.
I was watching like, oh crap! Like this yeah. may not be very long, but he was able to pitch very well for 5 innings and do exactly what the Cardinals needed. Thanks, Tom, for that. Let me get rid of you. Sorry.
Yeah, we're going to need him for sure for the season.
There's a lot that has popped in. So you talk for a second. I'll read a couple. Talk.
Say Let's words. See here. I'm just trying to, I'm looking through team stats and where we're ranking here. It's not looking good. We are 20th in all of baseball and home runs. And most of those are Nolan Gorman and Yvonne Herrera. Batting average. As a team, Cardinals are 23rd in baseball right now. Yeah, the offense is
the problem. So
it really is. Yeah.
On the bright side, Chris is talking about having two catchers. Yvonne Herrera was expected to be good, right? And I have an autographed ball. I think it's in the other room. It's signed. It says heir to the throne. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
There was thought to be that he was going to be the next guy to follow up and come right after Yadier Molina. He didn't hit his first home run. Like, he played 2 seasons on and off sparingly and couldn't hit a home run. And then all of a sudden this year, he gets the one monkey off his back. And he's been, I don't know, second. Tied for first in home runs on the team?
Yeah, he's got 2. Well, I think Gorman's got 3 now.
Yeah, so yeah. He's second.
Second, yeah.
Well, no, I think he has 3 now. Yvonne.
No, his second was okay. The other day. Yeah.
The point is,
both were bombs.
Oh,
like 110 miles per hour plus.
The one last night was like 430, 430
yeah.
something. Well,
yeah,
but opening day in St. Louis, it was over the bullpen as well. And they said it was 414 or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. So Herrera, so far this season, is batting. Oh, I'm sorry. You're correct. That was his third home
run. I was
run
right.
The other
okay.
day. He's tied with the spring training stats popped up at the top for baseball reference. He's batting 290 so far. Only a 294 OBP, which is it's just funny because the slugging is 581 and the OPS is 875. So he's not getting on base, but when he hits the ball, it's a home run or it's an RBI situation. He's already got 7 RBIs as well in 9 games. So. He looks fantastic. I think, and we had another good comment here. Why did we need Jason Nichols from Facebook says, why we need Contreras with our obviously ready catcher. I think he's talking about Herrera. I think, Jason, the answer to that, honestly, is I don't know that the front office had a lot of faith in Herrera making the defensive strides that he's made over the last year.
That's true, but Contreras is not a defensive catcher either.
No.
But I think...
Which's interesting, because we knew that Herrera was bat, like it led the bat first.
I think the Cardinals have been pressured into a lot of moves lately that they would not have done. They have gone... They have had these franchise...
But they put that on themselves, so long to finally jump into free agency.
You're not wrong, but they have been so... they have been so, like, complacent for years because they could be with franchise legendary players.
That's why you get these deals where, like, Fowler and Contreras. Now, I think Contreras' deal is going to work out a lot better than Fowler's.
Yes, but they've been pushed because the fans are pushing and pushing for things to happen. And they knew, everyone said, we have to replace Yadi with someone. So the Cardinals pushed. Like, again, same question is if you go in the season with Jordan Hicks or Thompson as your starting rotation, if you go into the season last year with Ivan Herrera as your starting catcher,
unproven,
people are losing their minds.
Yeah.
So they get pressured into another decision. And I think it's going to be fine because Wilson Contreras should hit 20 plus home runs, 25-ish home runs, and hit 75 plus RBI. And then you now
which is great for catcher.
But now you literally have an actual DH. My problem so far with the DH being in the NL is the Cardinals haven't used it as a DH.
No, they just won't. They won't give that to a certain player. They're kind of just rotating out.
Right.
Which to some degree is not, you know, you got Brendan Donovan, Tommy Edman when he comes back. You got guys that can play all over.
Who has been a DH since the DH, since we know the DH as an AL? It's been some dude that just mashes the ball.
Yeah, JD Martinez. Right. If you think of a true Kyle Schwarber. You think of a true DH.
Nelson
Cruz was fantastic.
Like, those are DH guys. And so what happens if Ivan is being a really good catcher, then Wilson can be a DH.
And you might get more power. You might get closer to 30 home runs with him.
Right.
If he's able to DH.
If he's just focusing on that.
More so DH, yeah. And he's got that bat.
More injuries will happen, and you can move around those types of things. It's just, yes, but I've wanted the Cardinals to sign bats. And so if you get one out of Ivan Herrera, then you then have Wilson Contreras as now a bat as a DH, or vice versa.
Yeah.
Ivan can be the DH if he's mashing, because so far we haven't gotten much out of the DH position when it's Burleson. We haven't gotten much out of the DH position in the last few years because it keeps on rotating and guys are just not that spot. That's how I look at it anyway. Yeah. It's the possibility of actually having a hitter in the DH spot instead of, oh, that guy's not playing the field today, so we can rotate him out to the DH.
Yeah, it feels like the Cardinals are one of the only teams in the NL that does it that way. We got a few more good comments here. Brad Kell says Herrera's changed batting stance has drastically improved his game, something that was unknown when Contreras signed. I mean, if you go look at Ivan from 20, what we got peaks of him, I think, in 2022. Yeah, 11 games in 2022, 13 games in 2023 we saw from him. Drastically changed his batting stance.
I
don't know if it was all of 2023 in the minors. I think it was toward this is where we need Kyle Reese, right? We need to tweet at him.
We've been tweeting. We've been messaging each other. He's
Kyle Reese. If you don't follow Kyle Reese on Twitter,
Kyle is literally DMing me right now. And I said, we're on live. Why don't you just come on? Because he's gifting some games. Give me 10 minutes.
He's gifting the minors game. He's fantastic with the minor leagues. But at some point last year, Ivan Herrera changed his batting stance. And it's pretty drastic change if you go back and watch at bats from 2022. It's definitely played in to the success that he has. I think it's more of a timing thing of why he changed it. Jason, you know, I saw what you said. Jason Nichols on Facebook again said, I understand, but Yadi trained Herrera from what I've heard. True, Yadi's trained a lot of guys in spring training, right? Remember Carson Kelly?
He didn't train anyone this year.
No,
he was supposed to come.
Yeah,
and said, touchy subject. I don't know what's happening.
Ollie Marmol got his extension. He said, I'm just going to hang back, you know, with my team.
Brad says it was before, during the 2023 season.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. That's a important note, Brad. It's been great for him. And Jason, I would say, Yadi's trained a lot of guys in the past. Carson Kelly was the guy that we heard before Ivan Herrera when we thought Yadi might retire 8 years ago. And of course, we all know he was in the Paul Goldschmidt trade, had some good years with the Diamondbacks, and now he is somewhere else. I don't know where he is now. But he had
starting somewhere, right?
Detroit, maybe.
I want to say you're right.
Detroit, maybe.
That may be right. I just heard his name the other day, and I saw. Oh,
back
with
Jack Flaherty over in Detroit.
I was
think,
like, oh, he's
off the top of my head.
He's there. He's playing. Yeah, I just
now, he was the opposite of Herrera. He had the defense. Like Yachty, you know, really said like, hey, he's doing good defensively, and kind of encouraged him that way. The bat was never there with him, and he didn't stick with Arizona. You know, obviously, I don't think anyone would look back at that trade for Goldschmidt and say that we made a terrible trade. But yeah, we've had a few guys over the years, but it really does look like Herrera could be that guy moving forward. He beat out a throw to first the other day on a double play. I'm like, oh man, that's different. seeing our catcher beat out a double play
just
throw.
Running to first sometimes. Yeah. I mean, I give Yachty a lot of passes for not running to first.
Well, yeah.
But it
irks when you're
me
starting
at times,
as many games and catching them.
But like Nolan Arenado doesn't run out to first either. And it just kills me. Like maybe since you're not hitting very well, maybe we should run to first.
Yeah.
Maybe that's part of it. But Yvonne has been great. And changing his batting stance has obviously helped. I think I was at his very first major league game when he was called up and we were in Boston. I think that was his very first game that he ever got in. And I can't remember, was that 2022
was when he first came up.
So
yeah,
I think that was
10 or 11 games in 2022.
Yeah, so I think that's when he got
11 games in 2022.
Whenever we were in Boston and we saw him play, and that was like his first game that he got.
He wasn't up long. Cup of tea, you know.
Yeah, it wasn't much, but he
18 at bats that year.
Yeah, and there wasn't much there, but now he's getting a real chance, and you get rid of Kisner, and I really like Kisner, and I think he was a quality glove guy first.
Yeah.
But we need some hits, and Yvonne has been the bright
spot.
Kisner
was the captain.
I know. Right. That tells you how your team is doing if Andrew Kisner,
your
now
third
with the
tier,
Rangers,
second tier
I do
catcher,
believe,
yeah.
It tells you how good it is, right? Like that he's your captain. But
yeah. Another good comment here from Timothy Coates.
Oh, I was going to – yeah, I'm tweeting that right now. And
oh, great.
To tease people to jump in the stream. So
yeah,
you can
Timothy Coates on Facebook, and this is a great topic. Let's jump into this. Now that Newt Barr has been activated, where does Brendan Donovan play? I think he's tied with the team in home runs. He is second on the team, tied for second on the team in home runs. He's got two home runs right now. This is a great question. I might have tweeted and kind of blasted BK a little bit earlier today from our account because I thought he was tweeting out a lineup that left out Brendan Donovan.
Right.
And my comment was Brendan Donovan has a 396 OBP. You cannot. Like, there's no situation to me right now where he should not be in the leadoff spot every single day. But this is a great question, and it's a good problem to have. Where does Donovan play? And I think the answer is whoever needs an off day that day is where he plays.
This is what I've been
every day.
This is what I've been saying since last year as well.
We've got a true like Ben Zobrist type.
But I've
now.
Said this problem. Now, it's not a problem today, and it's not a problem tomorrow. But
it'll be a problem when Edmund's back.
That's my point. When Tommy Edman returns, that's when everything gets really, really bad and mixed up and cluttered. Because I love Tommy Edman. Look, I got my Breaking Tea hoodie on
Tommy
right now.
Tommy
Two Bags on right now. Like, but Brendan Donovan and Tommy Edman are the similar player. And you can add Wynn in that as well if you'd like. You can add Victor Scott into that as well. These are very redundant players on the team that there's not room for all that similarity. We need speed. We need guys to have on base. But we also need the guys that hit them in at the same time.
Yeah.
So if Edman is back and Donovan is back, there's not, it doesn't make sense to me. And I've been saying that since last season that we should have traded, and I would have traded, and people don't want to hear, I would have traded Donovan last year or the year before because you don't know where the ceiling is, and he played so well. You get something for him now. Yeah. But now we're here. What do you do? So in center field, Newt Barr is going to play center, right?
No.
No.
No, he's going to play left.
So Victor Scott's going to continue to play center field?
All of
batting 087?
All of his minor league starts for Newt Barr, which was three,
yes,
were in left or in right.
But is that preparing for right now, or is that preparing for the season?
For right now. And so the call down, they sent Pages back down,
Pagus.
I don't know how you say it. He's the third catcher. And the only reason they called him up was backup because you had, you know, Contreras dealing with his wrist thing.
Yes.
And they were able to do that because Carpenter had this kind of seems like a man, maybe a phantom IL thing. I'm not sure, but Carpenter's still on the IL, so that leaves you room to not have to send Scott back down right now.
Right.
I do think if Victor continues to hit the way that he is, and certainly if he continues to make, you know, mental mistakes, which I don't think he will.
I think you can keep him on. He just needs to go to the bench. Look, this is what I
think Scott's going to be there until Carlson is back.
I think he'll be
Carlson's going to be back before Edmund is.
Right. That's what we heard on the radio the other day.
Edmund's at probably a couple months away.
Right.
I think Carlson, they're hoping maybe this time in May, early May, maybe Carlson's back.
So Timothy's question, let's take it two ways. What would you do and what will the Cardinals do? What would I do? I would have Lars Nubar playing center field. And Donovan,
right now.
Yes, I would have Lars Nubar playing.
So before Carlson's back.
I'd play Lars Nubar in center field. I mean, we can get Victor Scott some more time, subs, running the bases, those sort of things. I'm keeping him on the roster. But right now, he's batting 087, and he's having some trouble. Let's give him a day off. Bring Lars in. Start center field. Gives you Donnie in left. That's where I'm going with it, right out of it.
Yeah.
Then that makes sure you don't have to play Burleson, who's not playing very well. That leads you to be able to have Gorman at second. That has you the ability to play Wilson or Yvonne as your DH, and vice versa for them playing as catcher. That's what I would do right now. Now, maybe they want to slowly get Nubar in there. Just right now, Victor Scott's
left field's less of a strenuous, maybe. Yeah.
But Victor Scott's not playing well enough to be starting right now.
But the defense is still there. Here's
it's not, though. He caused the game.
Well, yesterday. Yeah, I mean, he almost single-handedly lost.
He had two errors in the game.
Yeah. That fly ball he dropped caused 200 runs in the first. And then, the turn to
– Look, what
– The turn – he could have had a great moment.
Yes.
I mean, he beat out an infield single. And with how the rest of that inning went, if he had scored, we would have gotten the lead or at least tied the game. And so I'm interested to see what they do this weekend. And I really do. So what I would do, I think right now, I'm fine with giving him a day or two
right,
off.
Because they say.
Put Nude out there.
They say, like, young players they tighten up whenever you take them out because they messed up and they get soft. I mean, players today are softer than previous generations and they get upset. Well, it's easy to say, okay, Nude is back. Let's give you a day off and bring Newt in. It's like an easy transition to not be like, you're sucking right now. We're going to take you out. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's just an easy transition to say, you had a day off, Newt's back, let him go, and then we can work with it and get him at bats and those sort of things. To me, that's just the easy way, but go ahead.
Yeah. I think for me right now, if Newt gets a start in center this weekend and Scott sits a game, it wouldn't surprise me. Especially if it's, you know, against a lefty or something. It wouldn't surprise me. I think, though, like, if you go look at, like, Ollie's post-game comments from the game yesterday, I mean, full support. Like, full support. And now, who knows for sure what's being said, like, you know, in the locker room behind closed doors. But Ollie's been pretty forthcoming, even to the media in post-game. And we saw that with Tyler O'Neill last year. Now, maybe he's learned his lesson with that, and he's choosing not to go that route again. But I think that I think what I would do right now is, one, we were talking about Brandon Donovan earlier. Where we disagree is I personally probably would have traded Edmund a couple of years ago.
Right.
And the reason I say that is, and there's pros and cons, right? Edmund's got more speed. He can steal bases. Much better probably overall defensively than Donovan, and can play center. Donovan can't play center. He can play everywhere else, but he can't play center. But Donnie, man, the bat, like the power is different.
The reason why you trade Donnie is because his contract is easier to get more.
Well, if you were trying to get a top tier starter this offseason, it would have had to been Donovan.
That's what I was talking about.
It, yeah,
that's
totally
what you're making
the
move for.
Yeah, it would have had to be
trading Donnie and Edmund because you like Edmund more or you like Donnie more. It's about value and contracts.
Yes. Donovan definitely has more value right now.
Right, because he's so super cheap.
Yeah.
And then you can get in on his ceiling. Like, how many times do we sign a guy for a long-term deal that's not worked out? Aledmy Diaz, Paul DeJong.
Oh, the early extensions.
Yeah, the early extension, right? So instead,
Cole Wong, that one might have worked out. I mean,
instead you trade out of it whenever people think it's highest, and it may never top out any higher than that. You cash in on it because the contract's cheap. It's easy money. You're able to get that starter. You're able to get another bat, whatever you need. That's why I said that's the one I'm trading over Edmund, because Edmund has a more expensive contract. A
little bit older now.
Yeah,
too,
all those things. That's why you trade versus those two.
I think at this point, they I mean, we saw it this offseason with articles. They view Donovan as like one of the main guys, especially a leader.
And
in
a leader.
Clubhouse.
Yeah.
And dude, man, he can hit, man. 8 RBIs in 12 games so far. 885 OPS. He's got some power. But the on-base percentage is for me. Like, we've seen 3 years now with an on-base percentage of an average on-base percentage in his first 3 years in the majors of 382. That is fantastic. Like, we haven't had a true leadoff hitter since prime Matt Carpenter. And Donnie, I want him in every day. So I think what I would do right now is I'd probably still leave Scott in center for his deep. I think he's going to be fine because overall I think he's been really good defensively. For his defense and his speed, because he can steal some, right? If he could just get on base.
Right.
Just like throw some bunts down or get some walks. We saw it in that Sonny Gray game, I think. He got a walk or got hit, stole second immediately, bunted over, got home, early, easy runs. I mean, if he can just get on first, it's almost like a double. So I think they're going to give him every chance. I think you start him in center. I think you see Newt Barr play left. Or you see Newt Barr maybe spell some days for Jordan Walker, who's also struggling and who doesn't give you quite the defensive capabilities that Scott does.
He's much improved.
I think between Scott and Walker struggling, I think you see Newt Barr take one of their spots, and then you see Donovan go to left.
Well, you're going to bounce. You think they're going to move Newt Barr around?
Between the probably not.
Yeah,
that's a tough thing.
But also, I don't think they're going to put him in right either.
He played a game in right, in rehab, yeah.
Okay.
At least one. Kyle Reese, if you're watching, you can correct me on that. I think he played maybe one in right. It might have been the one here in Indy. It's going to be really interesting. It's a good problem to have because Donovan, but Donovan at this point, I mean, Donovan's going to be playing every day, whether it's, first base,
here's
like Goldie DH or like Goldie, sit. Like,
here's the problem I have with the lineup whenever you start doing this, though, too. You have Donovan, Wynn, Scott, Newt Barr.
Yeah.
Those are your four guys that can be in any order in that group, right? If you got Donovan at top, Wynn and Victor Scott's going to be 8-9.
Or, since Mason Wynn is getting a day or two off every week right now, just throw Brendan Donovan in there at shortstop instead of Brandon Crawford.
He's not going
to play any worse there than Brandon Crawford.
Oh, here's the thing. Brandon Crawford, I am convinced, was told he's going to have
playing. That is a terrible.
I'm convinced.
If they did that, I'm like, what
Mason
are we doing?
Mason Wynn keeps getting days off that should not matter. I mean, we're going to get
he
angry.
He got a day off the day off today.
How old is Mason Wynn?
21?
He's 21 years. I don't even know if that's accurate. But he's young enough that the man does not need days off. And I am convinced that Brandon Crawford was told by John Mozeliak.
He turned 22 20 days ago.
He's 22 years old. He does not need days off. He is hitting very well with a really good batting average. He's getting on base. He's one of our better – he's more of the ones that are getting on base better than everyone else.
Clutch
hits. He's hitting clutch. He's better than I expected him to be on the offensive side so far this year. His defense has been great.
There's
no reason for him to have days off. I think John Mozeliak said – Brandon Crawford, whatever the hell his name is, you come here to St. Louis, and we will give you the playing time once a week.
Carpenter can lead the clubhouse.
You will start once a week. I think that's literally what happened.
That is terrible if they did that.
There's no reason that he should be having days off.
Kyle Reese and I talked some on Twitter with this, and I get where Kyle's coming from. He said that they're so worried about Wynn getting hurt because there's no other option. In the minors, but Jose for me. That's the only
Thomas JC.
Well, we talked about that. So JC,
did I say that right?
JC has been getting a lot of starts as shortstop, but that's a new position for him. He didn't play much at all.
Can't be worse than Brandon Crawford.
No, but if they've considered, so JC getting starts there, Donovan could play shortstop.
I think they're better worried than about Brandon Crawford. They're worried about his arm.
But they're putting him in left field.
That's true too. But
I mean, he's airing out throws now in left field. So like at some point, if you're going to play him in left field, there's no reason he can't play shortstop.
Yeah.
So that could be an option because Brandon Crawford has shown his
name. We don't even know his name. We don't even know who he is.
Doesn't he look out of place in a Cardinals uniform, yeah, by the way? It looks so weird to me. It just doesn't look right.
And he's not playing well. He hasn't done anything. And again, it's 13 games in.
Yes.
We're being a little harsh
but
the guys. There's no reason that Mason Wynn should be taking days off.
And I could see, you know, even what Kyle's saying, they're trying to keep him fresh. They don't want him to get hurt because they're so scared because there's nobody else behind him. Great point. Like, I totally get that. But we have a day off like every week
right. This
first month in the schedule. There's at least for this first month, there's no reason to me that he's getting.
Yeah, we're not in a stretch of 16 straight games.
No.
So we're not in, you know, those stretches that do happen where you're playing doubleheaders because you had a rain out. You're doing some of those long term things that do occur. Yeah.
Or if Wynn was struggling like Scott struggling at the plate right now,
right.
Totally understand why you'd give him some days off.
But you can remember when you were 22 years old versus your body now, you feel great at 22 years old. I can play every day for 300 straight days and be fine.
Yeah.
And like
off of 3 hours of sleep.
Right. He could have drank all night the night before
now
and still
struggle waking up after 7 hours of sleep. And I'm drinking a Budweiser. This is probably going to, you know, one Budweiser's going to throw me off the whole day tomorrow.
So like he's 22 years old. He doesn't need the time. I understand you don't want him to get hurt, which is important. We don't want that, but
if these are going to be our guys going forward, if these are our top prospects and you're giving them the reins, like give them the reins. I mean, that's just, you know, that's where we're at.
And he's the shortstop. He's the shortstop of the
now.
He's
the only guy.
He's the shortstop of now. He's the shortstop of the future. It's go time.
Or make it fun at least. Like the days that you're, you know, giving him an off day on the field with Crawford, let him come in relief.
Oh,
that'd be fun.
He still wants to pitch. He says he still wants
to. I would love to see that.
He still wants to. And he can throw 95 plus as well. I mean, we've obviously seen it from shortstop.
Yeah.
He can sling it. And he still wants to be able to pitch. I don't think he'll ever get the opportunity.
No. I don't want him throwing his arm off.
Brad brings up a question. I hadn't really thought of it, to be honest.
Yeah.
What do you think about starting on the West Coast now, then a week later we're going
brutal.
Back?
Makes no sense. And I didn't think about it until he just said that. Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to be going to play Oakland.
Is that
after the Diamondbacks?
Is that what's after Diamondbacks? Yeah.
So hopefully they've got some guy, though, their closer, that's, you know, some young guy that's been light. He's been throwing like 103. It's like their Hicks. I don't know his name. I saw some highlights.
Well, you get opportunities on that team.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to hear about guys you never heard of, and that's going to be great trade bait.
But that's like the only guy I've seen. Any highlights from – so get to the A's early and don't lose the lead before the ninth, I guess.
Yeah. I'm not – oh, Mason Miller. Thank you. There we
Brad's
go.
Brad's on it, man. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for joining us. Yeah, that's the guy they've got, their closer.
Well, I looked at going to these games last year when the schedule came out to go out to Arizona for this time, but it was too close to opening day. Because Arizona is one of the ballparks I haven't been to yet. So I looked at it going out there, but it was too close to being home opener. Like, I would have preferred the Cardinals open up at home and then, like we're talking about, then go out there to the West Coast and do a whole string of games. But, I don't know if the team cares. That's what I care more about. The night games, to me, don't really matter. Like, it's fine for that part. I don't know what did the team hate it? I don't know. But the... you just got to win in Oakland, like you said. I love the ballpark part of it. So the A's, this is the last year the A's will play in Oakland, and they've signed a multi-year deal to play in Sacramento at a minor league ballpark there that holds 10,000 people. What do you think about? They're getting 30. They got 3,500 on their opening day in Oakland.
Yeesh.
So you got to think that's a smart move to go and get to be able to go and play at 10,000. Seat minor league park in Sacramento. Open up a whole new market. Like, it seems smart to me.
Yeah, we were talking about this the other week. Yeah, business wise probably makes a lot of sense.
Yeah,
for the owner, which everybody hates at this point, which I get because he's trying to take them away. But, you know, if the city wasn't supporting them, I mean, how is that all on the owner?
Well, yeah, you know,
it's not like the St. Louis situation where they wanted to build. I'm talking about the Rams, where they wanted to build a new stadium and stuff.
Right.
Oakland wasn't really trying to do that.
Here's how I think of that. Is if the Golden State Warriors leave Oakland,
it is sad. Let's say, you know, Brad commented again, nothing about that move is smart. Business wise, I think
it is
embarrassing. And it's sad for Oakland A's fans. Absolutely.
Business wise, the dude's going to make tons of money and more money. That's right. What it's all about. And people get mad about
cares about. Yeah.
People get mad about Bill DeWitt, but he's a businessman. He cares about making money. But if Oakland loses Golden State Warriors, they played in Oakland. If the Raiders, they lost the Raiders, and you lose the A's, to me, that's more of a reflection on the city of Oakland than it is on those. If three teams leave you, it's probably more about what's happening in your city than it is about those individual teams. Like, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, there's different ways to think about that. Like, I don't have too much sympathy if you're losing all three. Like, it sucks for them. But Oakland is not a nice place. I've been. It's not very nice.
The best.
It's
the best neighborhood.
No, it's not. It's not nice. Like, there was a game. I was in town. I went and saw a Giants game in San Fran. And we were in town for a Dave Matthews Band concert many, many years ago. And there was a football game going on. And we're like, no, we're not. Nah. No, no thanks. We won't go to that. Like, it's just not
didn't chance it.
No, it's not a nice place. Like, so I can't wait for the ballpark in Las Vegas. Like, if they're playing the Cardinals, if the Cardinals open up that stadium, which they did,
it'd be a fun trip.
I would go. I would be at the very first game. Like the Cardinals did in 2012, they opened up Miami Marlins ballpark.
Yeah.
And I went. Like, if they're opening up first game ever and the Cardinals are in it, I'll go. And that's the whole point of putting the ballpark on the strip, is to get everyone else to go. It's not about the locals. It's, and you, again, people may think that is not smart, but it's business smart. And that's what whatever Fisher,
the owners care about.
John Fisher. Is that right? John Fisher. That's what he cares about. Is that, what else? What else you got?
What have we hit? I don't know. Are we missing anything else? We want to do any predictions for this Diamondback series?
I feel like I'm forgetting something that I wanted to talk about, but yeah. Pray
that Jordan Walker starts hitting the ball in the air.
Jordan Walker, Paul Goldschmidt, and Nolan Arenado. I think they're all on milk cartons.
Got a couple of quotes here from Katie's article on Arenado and Goldie.
About why they suck right now? Or what is like, they have an excuse?
Yeah, well, they're just talking about it, you know.
Okay, go ahead.
So Arenado says, when asked about his frustrating start, why he's struggling. It's not what I want.
Half swings are why you're struggling, yes.
It's not what I want, and I don't feel the way I would like to feel, Arenado said, ahead of Wednesday's loss. I found a way at times, but I mean, I would say the quality of at-bats are not very good. Goldie, on the other hand, you know, cool and calm. Cool as a cucumber, Goldie. He said, overall at-bats have been fine, I think, but obviously I haven't hit enough balls hard or played as well as I think I'm capable of. I haven't played great this first week and a half, 2 weeks. I just try to play and perform every day. Just go do my job. He didn't say that, but that's a Goldie quote.
Yeah.
Don't really have anything else to say about it. I can't make excuses. I haven't played well the first 10, 11 games. Hopefully the next 10, 11, 150 will be better. Yeah, look, I mean, we're going to need these two guys. Okay. You saw how important it was in 2022.
Okay, but Goldie's going to Arizona. Kyle makes a good point here. Kyle Hauser, he makes a good point. He's going to homer twice in Arizona.
If he's
not hitting in Arizona,
then we got a lot of problems. That's a good hitter's part. Yeah, I mean, it's a good time for Nolan.
He's going back.
He loves playing.
I think he has the most home runs in that building's history, right? Like, he
has to.
He loves that building. If he doesn't hit in Arizona, we're only there 3 days, right? But if he doesn't hit in Arizona, it might be time for the flag to go up and go, oh, crap. Because Kyle Hauser is already calling. Goldie hits twice in Arizona. But Goldschmidt can hit three in one game as well. I mean, that's just who he is. But Chris is asking about the bullpen. You can look up you're looking up something. You're looking up Goldie's home runs.
I am. Yeah. 105 home runs at Chase Field. Yeah. A lot of bombs there.
Is it the most?
Yes.
It's the most. Okay.
Yes. I think by quite a lot. So
I'm trying to think of someone else that would be second.
Yeah. Just 8 seasons set the record for home runs at Chase Field.
Another team that has threatened to move if they don't get a new ballpark.
Interesting.
Or an updated ballpark. I can't remember if it was a new ballpark or an updated ballpark. I think they wanted updates.
Next closest was Luis Gonzalez at 95.
Okay.
95 home runs.
All right. I'm a table Chris's question for a second. So Luis Gonzalez, that was the 2000, that was 2001. So that was the initial, that's when the team started.
With yes.
Luis Gonzalez was there. And I don't know, was 2001 the inaugural season for them?
I think so. And, right.
And they won.
They won the World Series. I don't think anybody else has ever done that.
They won the World Series.
First year of a ballpark.
Yeah. So, and he would have been their player and obviously hit the game winning hit against the Yankees in 2000.
He played there from 99. Oh, so no. So 90. Well, I don't know where they were at before 2001. Was that their?
I think they opened with that stadium.
Well, Luis Gonzalez Baseball Reference says 1999 was his first year with Arizona.
So that ballpark, look up that ballpark, Chase Field. I assume then it opened in 99.
It had to have. 98. Opened in 98 in time for the Diamondbacks' first game expansion in 99.
So 99. So Luis has been there.
So 1999 to 2006.
Yeah.
Luis Gonzalez. And
so he
didn't start his career. I mean, his first year with them, he was 31 years old. So,
right. But it was part of the expansion draft, I'm sure. Right. That's how he got there. Because he was
8 seasons with the Diamondbacks. Before that, he was with Houston mainly. 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7 years.
So he was
Chicago a couple of years.
But he was 8 years with the Diamondbacks?
Yes.
So he and Goldie played the same amount of years.
Yes.
In that stadium.
Yes.
Okay. And so Goldie has the most, and then Luis Gonzalez has the second. I can see that game-winning hit in the World Series, Game 7 of the World Series in my head. Like, I can just see.
Oh, Luis, yeah, the bloop over short,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, and that was the 9/11 year, right? Or, yeah.
Yeah, 0-1, yeah.
And you thought the Yankees were just going to win it of everything that had happened. You just assumed, and people listening that are children then or, you know, too young, they don't even know what we're talking about. But, yeah. All right, let's bring back to Chris's question. How are you feeling about the bullpen so far?
Yeah,
the
bullpen. I'm trying to find bullpen stats right now.
The bullpen to me has been about what I expected. The newcomers have done well. We still have a couple guys that are injured, that got injured, that aren't playing, whatever.
Kenny Middleton was one of the big signings.
O'Brien pitched one game and got hurt.
Fireballer. He looked fantastic in the spring. Was that a lat strain? That could be a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
It was something with the arm.
What is the... Okay, so yes, I'm liking the bullpen. Gio is concerning.
He's the one that's worrying me the most.
Well, but speaking of that, though, worrying, Ryan Helsley can't pitch more than one day. Like, when...
He has so far this season. There's a couple days in a row. Like, he's been asked... But you see Ollie's comment about he's going to be a true closer this year. So they're only... I can't remember. It was a few games ago. He said this in the post game, and it kind of, it wasn't
like they're not going to bring him in the eighth type.
They are only bringing him in the ninth or later. I think he said with a lead.
So is he going to play? He can play 3 days in a row. He can pitch 3 days.
I don't know.
That is a closer, like a bulldog. Yes. If the game is on the line, it's my go. I got to go close the game.
I feel like minimum 3 days in a row is what he should be doing if you're going to be a true closer.
Yeah. Jojo Romero has been fantastic.
He's might be one of John Mozeliak's better trades ever. Because Sosa's done nothing with the Phillies.
No. Yeah. I mean, he did well that year, kind of. Like when
over there. I mean, he had moments, but yeah. Romero's been fantastic.
He
was great last year.
He was a minor league. We put him to the minors when we got him, I do believe, as soon as he came in.
Yeah.
Yeah, JoJo has been great. And
electric.
Some people have said that he should be the closer. And I think it's good to have two guys.
He closed a lot of games last year when Helsley was hurt.
Yeah, I mean, I feel pretty good about the bullpen. I think it's only going to improve. as long as Helsley does what he's supposed to do and Gio figures it out. But I feel like there's some other guys that can fill those roles, especially whenever health comes in. What's going on with Ryan, right? Fernandez.
He pitched the other day.
His pitch, whenever the game that they waited and waited and finally got him in, he looked great. His stuff looked really, really good. The movement.
His first outing was a little shaky, wasn't it?
His first outing, I think he struck out the side.
Oh, yeah.
Struck out all three guys. It's like, wait.
He's a hard thrower, too.
This is the guy that we didn't want to put in.
Rule 5 draft guy.
Yeah.
I think we got him from Boston.
Tyler O'Neill thing? Or no?
No. Rule 5 draft. We picked him up from Boston. Like they, you know, the guys that go in Rule 5 draft are ones that aren't kept on the 40-man, I think. Heim Bloom probably had a hand on it. Should go get this guy. I'm pretty sure he came from Boston. Yeah.
Bloom knew.
He looked great. Yeah.
Yeah. But so they didn't put him in. We were up 5 in that one game. Remember, people were mad. Like, if we can't put in him here, where would we put him in?
Yeah.
And then his debut, he comes in and strikes out the side in a 1-run game or a tie game or something. It's like, wait, he had movement. He had velocity. What are we doing? After I saw that, I'm like, give him some more playing time. Like, what are we doing here? Like, I've had questions of Ollie, and I think I said this on Twitter, but I think that I know one thing I want to talk about. Remind me. But I think that they extended him so that there's not the questions if the season didn't start very well, but also questions of how he's making decisions.
Yeah.
And these are some of the decisions. It's like Ollie's still making curious decisions.
Fernandez does have an ERA over 7 right now. He's only pitched 2 1/3, but he's given up 2 earned runs. And I think there was a game, it might have been one of his early ones, where he almost hit somebody, walked a couple guys, and I think they had to bring somebody else in, and maybe that person gave up his runs. But 4 strikeouts and 2 1/3. He's looked really good. My favorite probably bullpen addition so far has been Andrew Kittredge. This dude's been lights out and doesn't throw really hard. That's the guy that we signed over from we traded Palacios to the Rays for.
Yes.
Kittredge. Which had an all-star season with them, was hurt last year.
Could use Palacios right now. But yes.
Yeah.
He's
looked fantastic.
He's been really, really good. I didn't
1.80 ERA, 5 innings pitched, 6 Ks.
I didn't love giving up Palacios, but he's only
given up 1 hit, 5 innings.
He's been very good.
Yeah, he's been fantastic.
Because whenever you're dealing with the Rays, you're thinking, what do they know that we don't?
I tell you, yeah. And if he can stay healthy, if Gio keeps going down this road where he's just not been effective, can't get guys out, his sliders look fine, but no velocity. Like, he's not throwing 95-ish anymore. Doesn't have anything on his fastball. I could easily see 7-8-9 being either Romero or Kittredge and then Helsley. And that's not even saying anything for Kenyon Middleton, who was great, you know, with the Yankees last year. Hopefully he comes back and is healthy. Riley O'Brien's a wild card, along with Ryan Fernandez, of guys, you know, like, it seems like we've got a lot more solid options for the bullpen this year, and guys that, like, have got some stuff. Either guys have got some control and not nasty breaking stuff like Kittredge, and then you've got these flamethrowers like O'Brien and you know, Fernandez, and I mean, JoJo, I would put him in there. He can throw 97, 98. They look great. Yeah, the bullpen, I think, has probably been what I've been least worried about this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And
Palante's throwing he didn't have a good outing the other day, but he's throwing like the death ball now. You heard about that this offseason. I think it's like some sort of change-up splitter.
Like we're giving away games. We can have a shutdown inning after we take the lead. Like, I'm not so worried about, oh, God, who's coming in and what's going to happen. Yeah. And that's what the bullpen is supposed to be. And I think I've said last year and I've said in the offseason, the bullpen is an easy fix. You can repair a bullpen with some low-level cost-effective moves and trades and money. And I think Mo has kind of proven that with what they've done.
Speaking of bullpen, we haven't talked about him. Matthew Liberatore's looked great too.
Oh yes.
And the velocity's there. He might stick in the bullpen. I don't think he's going to be a starter
ever.
I don't know.
He's found a niche.
Ask me next year. And I want to see what we do after these 1-year contracts with Lynn and Gibson. If their options get picked up next year, then I don't know if Liberatore will ever be a starter. If they don't,
yeah,
then maybe.
Yeah. Kyle Hauser asked about Hicks. We talked earlier about Hicks and that. So if you missed any of the podcast, you can go back on YouTube and watch it there. You can go back on our live streams and rewind there as well. But we will also post this entire podcast on Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts, all those places. It will post later tonight, and we'll be ready for you in the morning as well to listen to the entire podcast again. Over and over as many times as you want. So we have hundreds and hundreds of people listening currently and watching currently. I want to hear your take on this. I'm going to transition to a question that the Post-Dispatch put out. Well, I posted about the question through the Post-Dispatch. The Cardinals home opener had the lowest ratings in two decades. And I asked the question, 120,000 people interacted with our tweet about this. I think that we should get some money for it. The STLtoday.com post had 162,000 views. Our post of those 162 were 120,000 of those views. I think we should get some kickbacks for that. Yeah. Anyways, my question and to everyone watching, listening right now, is this an access to content problem? Like you can't get it on TV. You can't watch it. You can't get a streaming service because of blackout.
The Bally's app sucks.
The Bally's app sucks. There's no place to get Bally's. They've taken it off the cable, et cetera, et cetera. Or is people not caring about the product of the St. Louis Cardinals because they're a little upset about it? Or is it a combination of the two? I want to hear from people and what they think and what you think. My assumption is that it was all a content issue. And if you look at our mentions, it's 99% about content.
Yeah. You're talking specifically those opening day TV numbers.
Yes, right now.
Okay.
It's the lowest home opener viewed in 20 years on TV. People said it's a Thursday afternoon. The home opener has been on Thursday afternoon for as long as I can remember.
At least a decade.
More than that. I've been going to home openers longer than that.
Because they always do the Friday open, you know, they off have, day in case you know, it's bad weather.
It's Thursday at 3 p.m. has been the start time for years and years. I think I've been to the new stadium has been open now. That was the 19th opening day, I do believe, at the new stadium. And I've been to 16 or 17 of them. You know, COVID throws off and makes it confusing because you couldn't go to the one. But we went to the one when it was a July start. You know what I mean? It confuses all of it. But I've been to 17-ish of those 19 opening days. They've all been on Thursdays. So is it because you can't get the game, or is it lack of give a damn about the St. Louis Cardinals?
I think it's probably a combination of both. I would say it's probably mostly the getting access to it, especially for those around St. Louis. Like, you can't watch it on MLB TV. You're blacked out.
Right. You're blacked out.
Like Bally's, Bally's is not on YouTube TV or Sling, or you have to pay for it on its own.
It's no longer on a lot of the cable services either.
It's a terrible situation with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a combination of those two. But, you know, one of the options you mentioned are people disinterested? Is there a lot? I think it, and we can talk some about this. I think the attendance is part of that. Did you see the attendance Tuesday for Sonny start? 31,972, that Tuesday's reported attendance is the lowest for a Cardinals night game in nearly two decades at Busch. Fourth lowest in stadium history. It was Sonny's debut. Well, and we knew about that.
And
like
31.
I know it's a Tuesday. I know it's a Tuesday.
No, but 31
night.
Probably wasn't real.
No. Well, I went Saturday. I went Saturday. So two days, the second home game of the season. And we talked about this because you texted me because on TV it didn't like a lot. Not a lot. We switched. We went over to a different section and got other seats that were in the sun because we were a little chilly. You know, maybe ticket sales there that, you know, season ticket holders were up. People did not show up.
Yeah. So the question is about that, but I have a comparison that I was having a conversation with one of the fake John Mozeliak Twitter handles.
There's a lot of those.
Kyle Reese is just now chiming in. Kyle, you can still come on, man. He just messaged me again. I'm looking for the details on it because I wanted to save it for the information that was in it. Shoot. I don't have it right here, but they have had, it was the lowest second game. So this is weird, right? So the first home game of the year, it sells out. It's a holiday in St. Louis. We were there, and it's always what it is. It's packed everywhere. It's awesome day in St. Louis. The second game can be telling of attendance, and it was the lowest second game attendance since 2013. Okay, so that was over 10 years. It was the worst second day attendance in over 10 years. That's telling, right? That tells, okay, where are we on the season? It was the first time being under 40,000 since 2013 on the second game of the season at home.
So 11 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so that's for day two. Then day three, and that's what I'm trying to find my other tweets.
So I just found it. Which is a rainy, it was a not great weather that day.
Can you pull the attendance for this year's game three? So yeah, if you can pull that. So the game two in this season, game two was 37,000 people. Game two of 2023 was 44,000 people. Okay. So there's a $7,000 person gap. 2022, game two was 45,000 people. That's an 8,000 person gap. We go back to 19 because 21 and 20 were messed up. 44,400. So again, another 7,000 people gap. So the one that I was tweeting with the fake John Mozeliak, I then list game three. And to me, this was going to give us a move on what are we seeing differently for game three. And now, was game three the 31,000? No. Game three wasn't the 31,000.
No, that was Sunday start Tuesday. I'm trying to find this. I'm having trouble.
Because
so the third home game.
Third home game, so which is Sunday. Yeah. So I'll go backwards from
what date was that?
The shoot. 4th, 5th, 6th, so 7th. The 7th was the third home game. And I'll tell you this because 2019, game three was 44,000. Game three in 2022 was 40,000. And so it statistically usually goes down a little bit. Game three was 45,000 in 2023. What was it in 2024? Waiting on Josh.
Trying to find.
Waiting on Josh.
Just, you know. Having a hard time finding.
If anyone else can help us before Josh can,
Baseball Reference is just giving me a total. I don't need total attendance for the whole season already.
If you scroll down in Baseball Reference down, it'll show game per game or something. If you go all the way down, you can go season totals per. There's a way to look.
There's a way to filter that. Yeah. Okay, we'll find it. I'm continuing to work on it.
Yeah. The attendance has been lower, but the viewership is lower. It's a combination of the two is what I think it is. It's a combination of those two things. Because the apathy is starting to set in, but this team is much better than 2023. Like, we all can agree on that, right? Like,
I hope so.
We've won two series. Do you know how long it was into the season last year that we won two series? It was May. We got to 500 in this season than we already did last season. The furthest the Cardinals made it 500 or better in 2023 was April 5th.
Ooh.
April 5th. Okay. The Cardinals were 500 like a day ago. They made it further already in this season. Like, that's how historically bad 2023 was. So I get it. But also, people want to complain that the Cardinals don't spend money. And if you don't show up to games, then you really give them a choice and an opportunity to not spend money. because, oh, they're going to say, well, we don't have the money because we don't have people in the seats. It's a cyclical situation. If you don't go to games, then they have an excuse to not spend money. Let's just check a couple comments. Attendance is on Mo, according to Jason Nichols. We survive our beginning season gauntlet at 500. We will win and they will come. I think that the Cardinals did that. They survived the gauntlet. So why didn't
if you win, they'll come? Huh? Yeah. I mean, yeah, they should.
They should have, right? And historically, the attendance is a little lower in before school lets out. That is normal. But the data I've given you says we're still on game two, way below what we normally are. Game three, we're still waiting on Josh to figure that out. Game two, we're still
is
much lower than what it normally is. Also, there is a little info on that, is that the Cardinals started a little later than normal at home, so that you got to sit at home and watch them play a couple series and then come home. They don't always go and play a couple series. Sometimes they play one series, then go home.
So I finally found this.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen.
I finally found this. Sunday, April 7th.
The attendance.
According to Baseball Reference.
Yes.
The attendance was 39,519.
Right. So I'll read these again.
So since opening day, the Cardinals in this, we just had a six-game home
stretch. Yeah.
Home stretch.
Yeah.
Since opening day, they have not topped 39,519 that Sunday game.
Yeah.
That Sunday game is the highest attendance they've had since opening day.
Right. So the Sunday, but let me, for reference. But see, I think this is important because, like I said, this game two had gone down
10,000 less, almost exactly.
What, 7 and 8,000 less from years prior.
Right.
So the attendance on Sunday's game was 39,000 and change. Game three of 2023 was 45,000 in 2023. 2022 game three attendance was 40,000. That's
they haven't topped 40.
Yeah, but 39,000 to 40,000 is not a difference.
Yeah.
2019, 44,000. Those numbers are not worrisome to me. Like that, when you look at game three compared to game threes.
But Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday this week was 32,621.
It rained a lot. It's been raining.
Yesterday was 33,000.
Monday was the
eclipse. Which is surprising because yesterday.
Monday was an eclipse.
Yeah, yesterday it rained the whole game.
Yeah. Like that, like it's, I'm not as worried. Yeah. Like when I see those things, that's what I was looking for, was that trend.
Let's see after this road trip, you get back to St. Louis, maybe a little bit better weather. I want to see how the attendance is
right. This
next series.
But if you're giving the DeWitts an excuse not to spend money because you're not showing up, that's on you. Now, if you want to say that that's giving you your...
Like, I totally understand people that don't want to, especially if you're like us and you have to drive several hours and you've got kids, you want to take your family. Not particularly cheap. Not on a weekend game. You know, I mean, we're almost 4 hours away, so we're not going to a Tuesday game.
For those that newly joining us, we're in Indianapolis. We're driving 4 hours-ish to get to a game.
Yeah, 8 hours round trip, almost, you know, to get there and back to home. It's not cheap. So I get it. If you feel like this team is boring, the offense right now most certainly is. Don't blame you for not spending your hard-earned money and driving. Now, if I was in the St. Louis area, I think we'd be going to a lot of games.
If I lived in the St. Louis,
especially
area,
during the week,
if I lived in the St. Louis area, I would get the $30 all you can, like every.
Oh yeah, they get you a standing room ticket. Yeah,
I'd be on that every. Oh yeah, I would be popping into every single game that I could
for sure
if I lived close. But would you have another game on the books for you? Like, I listen. Like, oh, I'm coming to games. I'm going to games, and you know, there's people that are going to go to games all the time, no matter what. I'm going to games now because I've already planned games. I'm going to games.
Yeah.
Later in the season, I add more games because of how the season is going. Like if it's a big series event against a team like the Cubs, the Brewers, the Reds that we need to beat them, to overtake them, that sort of things. I'm adding those games because of that. Like we're going May 4th weekend because we're planning to go. We're going to probably go 4th of July weekend to Pittsburgh and watch the Cardinals in Pittsburgh.
Talked about that, yeah.
Like, because those are just already happening. I'm going to do them later in the season is when I'm making judgment of if I'm going to go see them based on how the season has gone.
Like during the streak, when we went and saw the, what was the historic win in Chicago. That was kind of an on the fly fun,
right.
fun to do
because they won. We're going to go to St. We're going to go to Chicago and watch them win in Wrigley and break the most wins ever in a row for the Cardinals. And we did.
Yeah. In the past, I would say I've usually bought like a ticket
package. Yeah.
Usually one of the weekend ones. As our travel is changing, you know, we're doing active with our church, we're doing missions and stuff, going to Scotland. Things have changed. So I'm like, I've deterred from buying those packs because I'm like, I don't want to buy them and then not get to go to two or three of the five.
Right.
You know, so I think we buy more on the fly now. Obviously, going opening day this year was great because I hadn't been to one since 2016 or 17 or whatever it was. So it'd been a while. We always go to one of those games when they go to Cincinnati because it's so close to us, right? We're less than 2 hours from Cincinnati. So that's usually a good weekend to go. I think I'm kind of at the point right now where I haven't planned out games to go to, but I'll do more on the fly. Like if they're doing well, we get to September, October, they're close to a division, you know, race, like definitely we'll go to a game or like one to go to Pittsburgh. I haven't been to that park. Would love to do that.
Jason's asking about the $30. It's a $30 a month.
Yeah, it's like a membership.
It's a membership that they sell.
You get a standing room ticket
for $30
to every single
month,
game.
And you get to go to all the home games. $30 a month.
And think about that. Like by the fourth, fifth inning of that Saturday game we went to, seats everywhere.
Yeah.
So you just go sit somewhere else.
Like if I was that local that I could do that, I'm buying that. Even if I'm an hour away, I'm spending the $30 a month and I'm going to games.
Trade that. I mean, gosh, we pay that for MLB.tv.
Right. We pay 100 and,
you can't get it in St. Louis.
What is it, 150 this year?
Something like that. It's like almost 30. Yeah, it's $30 a month.
It's $30 a month. Just we pay $30 a month to watch them on TV.
You can't watch it in St. Louis anyway. So just buy that instead and go to the games whenever you want.
Jason asked, what's it include? It's just giving you just to get in. You're just getting in for $30 a month. You're just getting a standing room only ticket. Standing room only in Busch Stadium is the yellow lines, and you can. And I usually stand on the third base side, on the main level.
Looks like standing it might have gone up this year.
Oh, was it now?
I just found here the Budweiser Ballpark Pass. Is $39.99.
So up to 30, still 39.
Includes a mobile ticket to all 2024 regular season home games except opening day.
$39.99 a month.
Guaranteed standing room ticket to every game, including high demand and weekend games. Get the ticket on your app, auto renews each month. And I'm pretty sure you can cancel it.
You can cancel it. Yeah. So like if there's a few games that you want to go to in a game, I think you're right. I think you can jump out of it if you want.
I'm not seeing a stipulation on that.
But like that's, and especially with you're talking about, there's not a lot of people going to games at certain things. You can go and jump in seats. I'm doing that. I mean.
Yeah. That'd be a great way to do it if you're in the St. Louis area.
Yeah. So Jason says how expensive everything is. Like that might be your way to, but they're also cheap right now too. Like the last couple,
especially weekday games
until school gets out, it's going to be cheap.
Yeah. Yeah. The attendance has been interesting.
Yeah. That was the last thing I wanted to bring up was the attendance and have a conversation about that. And I think it's an interesting and something to watch, something to monitor of attendance and TV. And I think TV is not everyone's fault, but same thing with like the Pacers. We're in Indianapolis. Like the when you don't get to watch them on TV, you don't care as much to go to a game. So the Cardinals and Major League Baseball are just losing out because they're not making their product accessible, and that's where the problem is. And apathy sets in. So if you're not so keen on what the team is doing and you can't really watch the games very easily, all you're seeing are highlights, and then they're not winning the way you want them to win. Like you start to lose interest, and that's not the fans' fault completely, and that's not Mo's fault completely. It's a combination of all those things together. You can be able to follow us on Twitter at That's a Winner Pod. You can follow us on Instagram, That's a Winner Pod. You can follow us on TikTok. That's what
we're everywhere.
We're everywhere. TikTok, I try and post videos of this. I try and post videos of the highlights, different things. Just try and keep up. We're trying to get TikTok to 1,000 followers so we can next go live there. You can find us live on Facebook, where some of you are watching, Twitter, where some of you are watching, YouTube, where some of you are watching, in different groups. Cardinals 24/7 has us live in their group. Cardinals 24/7
has appreciated
us live on a page, on their page, and to their 1,500 subscribers on YouTube as well. You can find us and them on all those sites. And Jason said that he saw it on Facebook because someone shared. So we appreciate it. When you share it, it gets more eyeballs to us.
Love the engagement and the questions. I mean, that gives us more to talk about. We want to talk about what you guys want to talk about, absolutely, what you want to hear about.
We're going to have guests. We had John Denton said he would join us. He couldn't today. He was on a flight with the team to Arizona. So we'll have him on at some point, and we'll have other people's on. So we have a link tree that's set up on our Twitter, on our Instagram, all those things. You can get to all of our ways to be able to contribute. We can also, you can send us money at any time as well. But if you buy things,
feel free.
Yeah, you can send us money, but like on Twitter and what's on the link tree, there's ways just to donate if you just want to help us out. But like breakingtea.com/thatswinterpod has these sweet stuff. And on our Twitter, there's also, I think I pulled it down so you can see this live, but there's ways to be able to get our podcast shirt that said That's a Winner podcast on it. Any way you can contribute to us as well. We're also looking for one more sponsor if anyone wants to sponsor for $200. That's it. That's all I need, $200 to be able to be another sponsor to help pay for some of our streaming and some of our costs of things that we go through. So we look forward to next time. We usually try and do on off days or on off day game nights. We don't want to be competing against the Cardinals. That doesn't make a lot of sense.
Right.
So
watch the game.
So like on yesterday, the Cardinals played at noon.
Maybe we do an in-game, one of those in-game streams sometime.
Do you think anyone would care?
I don't know. I don't know if they'd have it on in the background.
I don't know. That, like, I would do that, but I'm pretty boring.
Yeah, that's true. We're not Peyton Manning and Eli Manning.
Like, I'm pretty boring when I'm watching a game, unless it's like the World Series. Yeah. And then I'm a freaking.
Yeah, we'll do it with playoff games.
Yeah. And this year in 2024?
Hopefully.
Okay. Just checking. all right, Jason, last question. So $40 a month, I can stand whichever which is how I watch on TV, stuff my pockets with shots. Yes.
It's great. Yeah. Just Google Budweiser ballpark pass.
Yeah.
It's got all the details on there. I saw your earlier question. It does not include anything with playoffs. No. So you will not get anything with playoffs, obviously. But yeah, it's a great deal if you're in the St. Louis area.
All right. That's all I got. You got anything else?
Nope. Hopefully we have a good series this weekend. I'm going to try to stay up late for 9:40 start times here in Eastern time. So that's great.
If you missed anything of the podcast, you can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. They just switched over to something they call it YouTube Music, I think is where now Google Podcasts are going. If you're having any issues finding those and you usually catch us on Google, let me know and I can make sure that's being sent there. You can always go back and watch us on YouTube on a replay. You can watch us on Twitter on a replay. And I think they even go on the Facebook and you can watch us on a replay. We really don't care how you consume us, as long as you're consuming us and having, I don't like, we're not getting money based on you watching us right now. Like,
just enjoy doing this.
Just enjoy it. We're just getting a little money here and there because people click on our links and buy some of the stuff that we're putting out there. So we appreciate it. For Josh, I'm Ryan. This has been That's a Winner Podcast. See ya.
Sutter from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss. And that's a winner. That's a winner. A World Series winner for the Cardinals. Smith corks one into right down the line. It may go. Hey, folks, go crazy. It's a home run. And the Cardinals have won the game by the score of 3-2 and a home run by the Wizard. Go crazy. Swinging a long one into left field. Adios. Goodbye. And maybe that's the winner. A three-run homer by Clark, and the Cardinals lead by the series on that one, folks.
What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.